Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. And last week in the episode, I'm sorry, this is a completely derailment of the episode already.
Okay, good start, good start.
I said, my name is Sabrina Petrofessa, and Lily, like, paused, and I didn't realize how weird that was until I went back and I was editing, and I was like, why did I say my name? And I realized why you were like,
I was laughing. And also, I said it too. I want you to be alone. And I was making fun of you.
I don't think you were making fun of me. I think you were just, like, I was like, oh, that's why Lily was thrown off. I don't say that. Why did I say that?
It's like the two times a month I forget our ending.
Yeah. It was just funny. It was just funny. Now for the rest of this episode, which will not be funny at all.
Oh.
Yeah. Today we're talking about Logan.
The movie Logan, which I did pull up the facts for. Logan came out in 2017, directed by James Mangold. Writing credits, story by James Mangold. Screenplay, Scott Frank, James Mangold, Michael Green. Based on, we know these characters. And starring Hugh Jackman as Logan, of course. Patrick Stewart came back as Charles. Daphne Keene is Laura. Do I have to go through anyone else?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's the main one.
Those are the main three that I would say.
Yeah.
And Daphne Keene's the only, like, new person this time around. And may I just say, Daphne Keene is such a young person with so much talent.
She did a really good job in this one. I was really curious because all I'd ever heard about this movie really getting into superhero things was, one, Logan was phenomenal. Two, it's very violent. So when I saw the trailer and I saw how young one of the actresses is, it was kind of like The Shining. And I'm like, how did you film this? I want to know the technical details. Because, like,
I mean, she's not, I don't think she's as young as the kid from The Shining.
Yeah, so, like, she knows.
I think she's, like, 10 years old or something in this.
Yeah, so she, like, I don't think they ever, like, toned it down of, like, without, like, telling her directions or things like that. But in general, I'm just wondering how they filmed it.
Yeah, she's also the one doing
all the violence. Anyways, plot summary. We'll get into this.
Okay. So, Logan opens up. It's 2029. We're in some post-apocalyptic world where no new mutants have been born in, like, 25 years. In a quarter of a decade. So slowly, a lot of the mutants have just died off. Whether that was because they were attacked or not, who knows. And it opens up on Logan in a limo, sleeping, and people are trying to, like, steal his tires.
Yeah, the hubcaps or something.
Yeah, and then he comes out and he fights. And, like, I think the first time I watched this, I was like, all right, we're in for a fight. And then immediately you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Because Logan is not up to snuff anymore.
And I think that's what really struck me, especially watching all of the X-Men so close together, is, like, he's old.
Yeah.
So I can imagine watching it with the gap of, like, you go in knowing you're Logan, and then you see this Logan.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, he's old, he's aged, he's dying, he's not healing as fast, his claws don't come out as fast, some of them get stuck.
Oof.
Like, it's not a fun time for him. And he's trying to save money to buy a boat so that he and Charles and another mutant who's been helping them out, oh my god, Caliban.
Yes.
Can go out onto the ocean because Charles is sick and he gets seizures, and every time he gets a seizure, it's like he psychically explodes and everyone near him is...
It's like an EMP for people.
He just is, like, they freeze and they're in pain, and Caliban has described it as, like, I couldn't breathe. They just stop. It's, like, impossible for them to just even breathe.
Yeah. I was going to say, because it's so interesting that happens, because we've only seen the, like, Charles doing that at the top of his game, the whole like freezing the whole museum kind of a thing. And this is that flipped of like what happens when that power goes horrifically wrong.
Yeah, and the problem is that people are aware that it's happening, whereas mm-hmm. when he's like when he was like on the top of his game, people didn't know that was happening. They were frozen mm-hmm. and still breathing. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know it was happening. And then when yeah. everything turned back, it was like, oh. But after this, it's like, people know something happened.
Yeah.
But then this woman, Gloria, what's her name? Gabriella. Mm-hmm. Yes. A G name. I literally watched this movie like 2 hours ago. Why did I already forget her name?
She doesn't stick around for too long.
No. Gabriella, like, finds Logan at one of his jobs because he's a chauffeur now. Mm-hmm. Or like a limo Uber is what it seems like. Mm-hmm. And is like, I need your help. They're after us. Mm-hmm. And this is the first that we see Laura.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing leads to another. Logan comes into contact with Laura. We find out Laura is actually his daughter because they genetically created her.
Genetic daughter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was created in a lab, but from his DNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this movie, man, it's just so sad.
It's really sad.
The main, like, driving force in this is that they're trying to get Laura to South Dakota to meet up with all the other kids who were genetically born. Mm-hmm. Or genetically created in a lab, basically,
mm-hmm.
To escape to Canada to be free.
Yeah.
Because they're being hunted down by the company that created them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sad that they couldn't escape to America for that. They had to go all the way to Canada. But I mm-hmm. guess the scientist who made all this possible was from America, so who cares?
Right. Right.
So that's the journey. It's... Mm-hmm. For a majority of the movie, it's Logan, Charles, and Laura on the run, headed upstate to, like, try and get her to freedom. And to get all the other mutants to freedom because they're, like, kind of excited that mutants are here again, you know? Yeah.
The thing is, all of this has been kind of just rumored. The nurse heard about this and kind of organized this, but because she died, she wasn't able to pass on her information fully to them. Just some video kind of like backstory. And one of the things I really liked about this movie is the X-Men became canon in their own universe. Like, comics were made about them and things like that. Like, of course they would be, you know?
Yeah.
So basically the idea is Logan finds this and he's like, this is all based off of fantasy. Like, this is... You're painting me as a superhero and I'm not. You're painting, like, the mutants and the X-Men are gone. That kind of speech.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, Charles is our professor, Charles Xavier, and he believes. And he's like, no, we have to get Laura there. The idea that there could be more mutants, you know, we have to look out and we have to protect them. We have to do what we've always done.
Yeah.
So they don't actually know for sure what they're driving to South Dakota for.
No.
Yeah. We find out in the last, like, 40 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Like, Laura knows what's happened, like, where she's headed.
She just refuses to talk.
And, like, valid. I'm not gonna blame her. I'm sure there's a lot of trauma happening in that head of hers, so I'm not gonna blame her for not talking.
Trauma and, like, not any sort of nurturing
socialization.
Yeah. There's no development. No social development.
Yeah. Because we find out through, like, the little video that Gabriella left that, like, they tell, the nurses are told to treat the kids like things.
Yeah.
Like animals, like rats, like, basically. Mm-hmm. Last week we watched a movie that was 2.5 hours long and felt like it.
Oh, yeah.
This week the movie was about 2 hours 15 and it didn't feel like it at all.
No, this one picked up because it had good writing and, like, a through single story. It's a pretty classic storytelling, not trope, genre of just the lone figure trying to finish this journey, you know? And I feel like that's also an analogy for Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Hugh Jackman had, at the time that this movie came out, was playing Wolverine for 18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, he's more so than any other character helmed the X-Men universe. Because...
Oh, you think? Yeah.
He's the only person who's made an appearance in every single X-Men movie.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
He's made an appearance in every single one. And that also is because his character lends itself toward it. Because he's, like, semi-immortal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's also because, like, I don't think it's possible to think about X-Men and not think about Wolverine and not think about Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 for sure.
You know? I think he's just been there for so much of it, an important part of so much of it, and it's hard to think about X-Men without him, actually.
Yeah.
But I think this was a beautiful goodbye.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, like... Wow, when I was watching it and, like, the fight scenes were happening, I literally was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lily.
Some of them, because I remember you asked me afterwards of just, like, so would you call it gory? And the way I described it is it's not necessarily gory of, like, blood is pumping everywhere, mm-hmm. but it is insanely violent.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Wolverine's specialty, and I guess his genetic specialty from there on, is hand-to-hand knife combat.
Yeah.
So, like, there's just a lot of slashing. And some of it happened off screen. Like, you just saw the throws, but not the connection.
Yeah.
So some of it I could stomach. The first fight because my roommate told me about it beforehand. Because she was like, okay, so here's, like, some scenes that are going to be kind of rough. So the first fight was pretty rough. The hotel fight, even though it was really cool because it was slow motion, that was still pretty brutal.
Slow motion.
Yeah.
Not really. Not,
yeah. What was the other one? Anytime a beheading happened. Wasn't a fan of that situation.
Yeah. I think it was violent, but I think, like, Wolverine has often been, in the comics, he's usually, like, the most violent. So I think giving him that R rating let them kind of be free to do that.
Yeah.
In a way that the character hasn't really been able to do before.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be talking about, like, the violent scenes, I think the one scene that hits hardest for me, it, like, the second they go to that family's house, you are literally, like, you know they're all going to die.
I was so mad at Charles.
I know.
Not gonna lie. I mean, he wanted to give him that benefit of the doubt of just, like, he wants just a moment of happiness. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm Team Logan of just, like, you guys need to get in and out. Every second you spend with these people is putting their lives at risk.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. And I think something that, like, really hits with this movie is that every single second of it has emotional weight to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the emotions that are driving Charles are the ones that are driving him to stay and be like, well,
yeah,
his feelings for Laura, his feelings for Logan, his feelings about himself are what it is like, well, we can stay a night.
He just wants more time.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is, but, like, someone threw around, like, what's he got? ALS or something like that? Like, Alzheimer's? And so, like,
he's also 90 years old.
He's 90 years old. He's seen everything he loves fall around, like, crumble around him again. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, his whole thing, this movie, is just he wants more time.
Or I don't know if I would even describe it as him wanting more time. He just wants, like, some sense of normalcy.
Yeah. Yeah. He just wants to be happy again.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be on the run. He wants to be home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he uses Laura a little bit to mask that, to be like, well, she's a child, like, she deserves some rest, and she deserves, like, a meal.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's mostly him who feels like he needs those things, not Laura, because Laura can handle the trauma, you know?
Yeah.
Not that she should, but...
Yeah.
And at that point, the only person who was really able to communicate with her was Charles. So, like, if he wanted to say, Laura needs this, he could say it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically, that poor family. But anyway.
They didn't ask for any of that.
They didn't ask for any of that. That's so sad. And when, a problem arises and Logan and the father of that family have to leave and go fix it. And while they're gone, the, company that has been following them.
The ones who made Laura.
Yeah, the ones who made Laura. Through Caliban, they've been finding them because Caliban can, sniff out mutants.
I'm a glorified truffle dog.
Yeah, sorry. I love that.
Poor man.
But, yeah, that's his power, is to just, sense mutants and find them, which is, the most useless. Honestly, I get it's useful for them, but, right. It feels, useless in general. Why would I... my power is to sense other mutants who can do things that... are cool, and I can just be like, yeah, you're a mutant.
Sidekick. Sorry.
Yes. Truly, though. And we also find out that Caliban is the reason why most mutants are gone.
That was a little fuzzy, but, you picked up on context clues of, he used to work with the company, and then he realized that was not how he wanted to live his life.
Yeah.
He realized that was not a good thing, so he decided to just live with Logan and Charles.
At the point of the movie, he'd only been with them for a year.
Oh, a year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Because Caliban says, last year when you approached me and asked me for help.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I think there is some, there was a bit of, reconciling with that and knowing that he didn't want to do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And he was leading them to them, but he was delaying it. They had just left kind of situation. He was delaying it to give them time and give them a chance. And at the, so much happens at the house. It's this huge climax for the movie. Yeah.
Absolute turning point.
It's not
devastating.
Even, where... So first the son dies, then the mom dies, then the dad gets stabbed. And this is the worst part. They were alluding to the fact that the children didn't work because they had a soul. So they were building something without a soul.
Yep.
And we find out in this scene that the thing that they built without a soul was a second Logan.
Down to the looks. It's Hugh Jackman.
It is a clone. It's a clone.
Both. Roles, yeah. They cloned Logan.
Yeah. And he's, the doctor who created him basically says, you're an infant. Because he's days old or weeks old. He's just very, he's a very young clone.
Right.
So he's almost feral.
Yeah.
So they send this...
Dark Logan. X-24 is his name.
Yeah, they send X-24 into the house, and he goes into the room where Charles is and Laura is, and Charles has this moment where he just lets go, and he confesses, almost, you know? And he talks about a time where he's hurt other people before. And I wonder if it was, the beginning of the end for him and that he accidentally, killed everyone in the school or, what happened, you know? They are not clear on what happened in that moment.
But it sounded like his first seizure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that,
seven mutants died.
Yeah. And there was this beautiful moment where he was like, I think I know how you feel, Logan. And then... there's a fist to chest, and you hear the chink noise.
Yeah,
those
claws.
The claws, and you literally are like, "What?"
I gasped out loud
because I thought it was a dream. I honestly hadn't seen this movie in so long that I forgot a lot of details.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh my god, this was a dream!" Like, what?
Right.
And then it wasn't, and it was just. A clone. And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And Laura gets chained up this entire time. And it's just, she's literally got this gag that's got her at the neck and then on the arms.
Her hands and her ankles. And her ankles.
It's just insane. And then when Logan and the dad come back, they run into the house. Logan's like, holy crap, he's freaking out. Like, they start fighting. Or no, they don't even start fighting. Logan runs in and he's like, Charles. Like, his first thought is Charles. Like, he goes straight up to the house, like, into the room, finds his dad, finds him dying, and, like, carries his body to the truck.
Right.
And I think this is kind of a moment where, like, slowly Logan has been learning to care for Laura. But this is the moment where he's like, I'm fighting for her.
Right, 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 right.
And he runs to fight off X-24.
Dark Logan.
Yeah. And, like, he's losing.
He's losing pretty bad.
He is losing so bad. Because
this is clone Logan at his prime. This is Logan who's been, like, dying, sick, poisoned, something. Yeah.
Well, it's he's implied throughout the movie that he's being poisoned by the adamantium that's in him. Which just, like, leads me to so many questions while I'm watching it, being like, how heavy is that? Like, he has to bear that weight every day.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
And then you also wonder, like, how does adamantium work when you put it into a child?
Because she has, she's got silver claws.
She's gonna grow. How?
Will she?
How is she gonna grow if your bones are coated in metal? It makes sense for Logan, because he's an adult when it happens. He's not growing anymore.
Yeah. Oof.
But she is.
That's weird.
I
don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a question. Yeah. But it's also a comic book movie, so.
Yeah. So he's losing, and they get out of the fight because the father, who they thought was dead, he shoots
He rams him with his car first.
Oh, okay.
And then the Dark Logan gets impaled. And then he comes out with the gun and shoots him a bunch of times and then turns it on Logan, but the gun's empty.
And also he dies.
He also immediately dies right after that. Like, which honestly, a mercy. It's a mercy. I don't care.
God, can you imagine surviving that?
The shot in the house where you see the boy dead and then it's just the mom and she's saying, drop her, like, let Laura go.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're about to die, but that's a mercy. Like, you don't want to see your son right now in the state that he is. Like, it was horrendous.
Yeah. Absolutely brutal. I didn't have high hopes. I didn't have high expectations the family was going to survive. It was a whole other situation watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, God.
Yeah, I mean, I think going into it, you're aware that the only person who's coming out of this was Laura.
It's very, very sad, the entire situation.
Yeah.
I did not see Charles coming, like, Charles getting stabbed coming at all. I didn't know what to expect from his storyline throughout this movie. Because, like, again, the whole movie's called Logan, and I knew it was very sad, and I was like, maybe something good will happen for Charles Xavier. It did not.
No.
So, well, I guess from here is the jump cut to Logan having to bury his father figure.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That scene.
I hate it so much. Because Charles Xavier, I don't know. Like, you know whenever public figures die and they get these very large, grand funerals and people get to mourn who they were and what they represented? That's what Charles Xavier deserved.
He really did deserve that. But I also think that, like, what's so sad about this universe that's been created is that mutants are so rare that people don't even expect to come across them anymore.
And they do explain why. The company that created Laura,
they explain why, like, way at the end.
Yeah, and I was really mad. They've poisoned the food. They poisoned they put some sort of genetic chemical in the food that would, like, kill the mutant gene.
Yeah. So that, like, they could control who becomes a mutant.
Right, right.
Which was just, just devastating.
Evil.
I mean, come on. That is just eugenics at it's prime.
Absolutely. And also, I just... because we don't find out until the very, very end, that's something that was a very large pain to Charles. Mm-hmm. As he, this thing happened, and he saw his kind dying around him, and he didn't know why, and he couldn't figure it out. And he died not knowing.
Yeah. I mean, I think... in this, like, hopeful manner of mine, for some reason, mm-hmm. that's something that could correct itself.
I feel like, yeah, no matter... you know, Jurassic Park quote, life persists.
Yeah.
Very badly quote. Like, I just feel like it's gonna happen.
Some people... maybe it only hit people who had it dominantly right. as a carrier, and people who had it... not dominantly, I don't remember what that word is.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking in a generation or two, maybe people aren't going to be born with wings. Like, we're not going to get a Mystique. We're not going to get a Magneto. But maybe we would get, like, just, like, a small mutation.
Yeah. For a while. Maybe they can sniff out other mutants.
Yeah. We'll just get small mutations for a while until we get, like... until, you know, genetics or whatever builds back up to
I feel like the... the, like, lame stuff would come out first, yeah. That's exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying. Like, the lame stuff would come out first, and it would yeah. build to the crazy stuff. But
yeah,
that's just, it's so sad. But it's also, so sad. Would these genetically modified children not be a source of
the
X gene?
They should be, because, yeah, they're...
they were born, not created.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
They were made from people's genetic material, so... yeah.
Which I do want to talk about at the end when we're done going through this.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was so... the way Charles Xavier's death and funeral scene played out, I was like... I was unfazed by it at first, because I was like, this isn't real. This isn't mm-hmm. real. I see this is happening, but it's not real. It's going to be fine. Somehow there's going to be, like, a time warp retcon. He's going to, like, roll up on his chair at the end of the movie. It's great. So the first time I watched it, Charles Xavier's death did not faze me, because I refused to believe it was true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the rest of the movie played.
And you're like, he's gone.
Like, we're not time traveling anymore, folks.
Yeah. I love that this movie plays with the fact that, like, yes, there are mutants, but the mutants we're dealing with don't have this world-ending power anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not yeah. powerful anymore.
Yeah.
Charles literally needs to take medication to tamp down his powers, because if he has a seizure, people could die.
He hurts people, yeah.
Yeah.
Logan, the all-immortal being, is weak. He's not bouncing back.
He's not healing.
That's tough to see.
Like, a lot of his injuries are not healing quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still healing quicker than any other person would get those yeah. injuries from.
Yeah.
But, like, it takes, like, days for him to heal, maybe even weeks instead of, like, seconds.
In a few hours. Yeah.
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 So it's interesting to play with that. But I think what I love most about the funeral scene is Laura, like, mm-hmm. coming up to him and, like, grabbing his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's also now starting to look at him as her father.
Yeah, and also she really cared about Charles, because Charles really cared about her.
Yeah.
And so, like, she feels a sense of loss as well, and she, like, that's her best form of comfort that she can offer. It was a very sweet little moment, and it was just very sad.
Yeah, and then when Logan just, like, freaks out, he goes to the truck. He loses it. He has the shovel, and he's just, like, destroying the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, and then he passes out.
Yeah.
And Laura, in all her majesty, steals a car and drives him to a clinic.
A hospital. Yeah.
To get him help.
Question. Do you think she just stole the truck, or do you think she killed the truck owner?
I think she just stole it.
Okay, cool.
I think she just stole it.
Because the owner walked away.
He walked away. I think she just saw the opportunity and took it. I don't think she killed him.
Yeah, I don't think she went and, like, chased after murder.
She
but
also
that thought clearly crossed my mind.
She also specifically says at some point that she's only killed bad people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, she's only killed people who were coming after her.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that she would just kill someone who was in the vicinity. Like, her brain isn't like, well, I gotta kill him because if I don't kill him, he's gonna, like, call the police because of a stolen trip. Like, I don't think that's her thought process.
That makes sense.
And then, okay, so my favorite thing that I've learned about this movie is that the scene where they're in the car after the clinic and just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman, after that scene, was, like, apologizing to Daphne Keene for yelling at her and apologized to her mother for yelling at her. And her mom was like, yeah, who cares? She was just calling you a fucking asshole in Spanish.
That is my favorite thing about that scene particularly, is like, so this illegal lab was in Mexico, and I love it because it also made sense that, like, the people that they worked with spoke Spanish and were Mexican.
Yeah.
So, like, and also, you know, the women they used for their experiment, Mexican. So anyway, long story to get there, of like, of course she's Mexican, because she just goes off to Logan in Spanish.
I mean, I don't know if Daphne Keene is Mexican, or if even the character is Mexican. I assumed that they used Mexican girls as surrogates, not necessarily egg donors. Well, because when you see the kids, like, they were very diverse, and that could come from, like, who their father parent was. I don't know if they can do this experiment with women or not, but who the mutant parent was probably plays a part into what their race ends up being. But I also don't think that they would just choose random girls to be the birth mothers.
Yeah, the way the nurse explained it is it was women who would not be missed.
Well, she said Mexican girls carried these babies and you can't find them anymore. So the line to connect there is that they were hunted down and killed so that they wouldn't tell anybody about the experiment.
Oh, I assume they were kidnapped and murdered. Anyways, Daphne Keene, her full name is Daphne Keene Fernandez, British and Spanish. Spanish in that case, I don't know if it means...
If she's Spanish, I would assume Latin. Spain, which is like...
I was gonna say, I don't know if that means Latinx.
That just means Hispanic, which could mean white.
But anyways, I just liked that she went off on him in Spanish.
Yes.
Because, of course, she spoke fluent Spanish.
Yeah. The speaking fluent Spanish thing makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make sense that Daphne Keene herself knows Spanish or has a connection to Spanish to be able to do this role.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great scene. I just love that the mom was like, who cares? Like, she was just cursing at you. Like,
yeah, right, yeah.
Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I think it's just hysterical. I love it. And this just goes into the bulk of the ending. This is where we're in the third part of the movie. We're in that
Just driving literally to the climax, conclusion.
He drives for most of the part, and then he's like falling asleep on the road, and this is where Laura's like, okay, you need to rest and I'll drive. And he's like, I'm not letting you drive.
Absolutely not. You're 10.
She's like, looks 10. And she's like, okay, well, then in her few words, rest. He falls asleep. And then once he's like asleep, she shifts him over and she drives the rest of the way, where we find her friends.
Yeah, it was true. This Eden, the place that they were trying to go to that was based off the comic books, was real.
Well,
it was real.
They're not, they don't, where they all are isn't Eden. It's just their meetup point to get to Eden.
Oh, I see.
Because at some point, oh my god, I don't remember the kid's name. I think Gideon was the leader kid, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was on the radio with someone talking about, like, a meetup point.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So, the crossover into Canada is where the safe haven is where Eden is.
Oh, okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at least, like, that's where I would, like, that, like, that's where the little breadcrumbs they were leaving for us at the end over there. And the kids are, like, together, and they're taking care of Logan, and they joke around, and they, like, give him a shave to make him look like his comic book counterpart, which was really funny, and I love how perfect it was, even though they were all just using scissors. And there is this moment of just, like, kind of joy.
Yeah, and hope. It was the same feeling that you get whenever you saw the school in full swing. And I did tear up with this, because once I realized Professor X wasn't coming back, I did start tearing up when you saw the kids, because, like, this was all he wanted. He wanted to know that there was going to be future generations. And he would have lost his mind seeing an encampment, like, mutants taking care of each other like this.
And there's, like, I think, like, a dozen kids here. So he would have been like, oh my god, like, this is it. Like, it's like, mutant kind can regrow from here.
I do wonder how the other 12 got there. 11? Whatever. How the other kids got there, but
we'll, I mean, we'll find out someday. Gabriella said that they had gotten
other separated. Nurses each took a kid.
They or at least... No, I think they got separated just in general. Like,
two specifically.
Yeah. Okay. So I think some of them were able to, like, group together, but for the most part they got separated on their journey to that meetup point. And
that makes sense.
The kids have, like, a specific date. It's like, you have to get here by this date, and if you're not here, we're leaving.
Right.
And so when that day comes for everyone to leave, they leave Logan behind because he's made it clear he's not going with them.
Right. And Flora's very sad by.
Yeah. And there's been a through line through the movie. Logan carries a adamantium bullet because he's like, I want to kill myself.
He wants to die.
Yeah. And Charles told Laura to not let him do that. So Laura takes the bullet from him.
Yep.
Before she leaves.
Yeah.
And when Logan wakes up on that morning, all that they've left him is a little vial of this green concoction that makes them stronger.
Mutant steroids.
Yeah, and it says don't take it all at once, because if you do, like, you're going to crash hard and die.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. I don't know if that's 100% the case, but, like,
it's probably
going to be what happens with Logan, because he's at that point where, like, anything will kill him. And he, when he wakes up, there's all these drones flying overhead, and he immediately realizes something's wrong.
They've been caught, like, the government, not the government, the agency found.
Yeah, the agency found them because I think maybe she left her backpack behind, and in it was a picture, and it had the coordinates.
Yeah.
And they found that. Which is just the worst way to get found out, because she was clutching that so hard, and then the one place she leaves it, that's what gets them found out, you know? But yeah, this is the moment where Logan's like, nope, and he books it into the forest.
Yeah.
And we find out earlier that it's an 8-mile hike, and then they have to cross the pass and get past the border. So he's, like, booking it for this 8-mile hike. And he's, like, not in his best condition, so I don't know. And, like, every time we cut to him, he's, like, deep breathing. Like, it's hard. He's laboring every step he takes. But he's got that, like, fatherly drive happening here. Like, he's like, my daughter, he's not my daughter. He's going to
protect these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he gets close enough to hear them screaming, he injects himself with the thing.
Yeah.
And he just goes in on all these kids. And not on all the kids, on all the guards.
Yeah.
Oh my god, why did I say kids?
Going in after the people, the kids.
And can I just say, I really enjoyed seeing the kids use their powers. However, why didn't they use them more?
I know. For a bunch of kids who were trained to be ruthless killing machines,
they were not
good at fighting.
And some of the scenes, Laura, the only one who's good at fighting.
I know. For some of the scenes, you could see that, like, they started to use their powers and then they were incapacitated. And I was like, whatever. But for a lot of them, I was just like,
why didn't you do that? That one kid could electrify people.
I know. I was like, why didn't you do that first?
You just grab them.
We had a mini Magneto, and he didn't do shit.
I don't think he can control metal. I think he could control the earth.
Oh, okay, because that's what I want. That was what I want.
It looked
about
like
at the
he
end.
Lifted a boulder that flipped the car.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought he just flipped the Jeep, and no. I was just like, sir.
I would be really shocked if they were able to get Magneto's.
Yeah, we'll discuss that at the end. But yeah, no, I was also really surprised because we were told these kids were trained, combatants.
Yeah.
And they were not using their powers very well.
I mean, I think it also boils down to just, like, what's convenient for the plot and what money they had for special
effects. They couldn't have... True. But anyways, Laura and Logan are, like, they're fighting for their
lives.
They're
feral.
Everyone is, but, like, they spend a lot of the most time on Laura and Logan's fights.
Mm-hmm.
And because Logan is on steroids, he's winning. Like, he's not doing badly. Mm-hmm. He's not getting his ass kicked like we'd seen throughout the rest of the movie.
It gives him the kick, and it, like, helps him heal, so the blows that he's getting aren't affecting him quite as much because he can, like, mm-hmm. heal from them. At least marginally.
Yeah. Also, I did like just him screaming as he's running to them. Mm-hmm. Like, he hears the kids and he yells back, and they hear him and they're like, you know, they know, like, mm-hmm. he's coming for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I was watching the scene and I just went, like, yes, whenever Logan, like, jumped 8 feet to someone, I was like, yes. Like, it was really nice to see him in a semblance of what looked like his prime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when they realized that they were losing, ay, ay, ay. So they had captured most of the kids except Laura. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Logan and Laura have, like, devised a mind meld plan to get all the kids free.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, like, sets himself up for the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the scene where we find out about why there are no mutants and the methodical destruction of the mutants for the last 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when that asshole died.
Which one?
The doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was it's all in his brain. And, like, mm-hmm. this... I'm sorry, we're going to have to label this explicit. The movie was explicit. We're allowed to curse in this one.
Yeah.
This motherfucker had the audacity to say, I think you knew my father. He started the Weapon X program. Excuse me. Like, that's even more of a reason to hate your guts. Like, you are the reason that Logan has adamantium in the first place. Or, like, your dad is the reason.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's Stryker.
That's what I thought. Because when he said that, I was just like,
because his name isn't Stryker, so you're like,
that's what I thought.
Like,
that's what I was like. And isn't Stryker's son the mutant from, like, way back when?
I mean, I'm assuming that he had more than one child.
Yeah, we'll go with that. So, yeah, whenever he said that, I was like, you can't be talking about Stryker, but who else could that possibly be? My God. To say that to Logan's face.
I was like, I fucking hate you. And I was so happy when he died.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the other guy who's, I don't, whatever, whether the, I didn't blonde, like the him. Blonde one with no hand.
Yeah, he was, I genuinely didn't understand why he was such a big bad when he didn't do much.
No.
He was just like a smooth talker with a southern accident. No, not with an accident.
Accent.
He was just a smooth talker with an accent.
I think it was just because he was leading the charge, like, and he was being all, like, creepy. Yeah, but that was the moment they were like, oh, we're losing. Mm-hmm. And so that the blonde guy, like, lets Dark Logan out.
Ugh. Yeah. This was brutal. This fight was tough to watch. Because the serum is wearing
off.
Yeah.
I knew the first time I watched it that Logan was gonna die in this.
Yeah, I will say the entire movie, I didn't have any spoilers for this movie, but I did know that, like, just thematically, Logan wasn't gonna make it out of this. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if I knew that when the movie was coming out, I don't know if I knew that. like, generally, right. I think it just got spoiled for me on Tumblr. Because I didn't really watch trailers for it, and I wasn't really thinking I was going to go see it in theaters.
Right, right.
I think I had a bad taste in my mouth from some of the other X-Men movies, so I was like, I just don't know if I want to see Apocalypse? This. Yeah. Or even the last standalone that Logan had wasn't very good.
Oh, right.
Not, I mean, it was, like, literally, like, 10 years before that, but still. So I don't think I was super excited, but then I saw, like, on Tumblr, everyone was like, this is an amazing movie, and then I saw, like, gifs of his death scene. So I was like, oh, this is an intense movie. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up watching it on an airplane. So that was how I watched it the first time.
Right.
And I'm, like, sitting in my seat, like, I'm not crying. This isn't happening. So you don't want anyone to see you cry? Like,
on an airplane?
Yeah, and I think I was, like, sitting with my brother and my nephew, so, at the same time, I was like, no, I'm not crying. Like, stop it. Like, I don't want the people that I know seeing that I'm, like,
also seeing me cry.
Yeah. It's one thing if you're a stranger. I'm never going to see you again, but this is my nephew. He doesn't need to see me cry.
Yeah. No, that's the mood. You're right. You're right.
But, like, this scene in itself is just brutal. Like, Logan is losing, and Laura is watching, and Laura is freaking out because, like, she got that moment of hope, like, oh, he came for us.
Yeah.
And now he's dying.
She's gonna lose him.
And she goes feral on X-24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was living for that. And then the kid, Gideon, I think, was like, Laura, no, like... And this is where Gideon, who this entire time I'm like, what are your powers? Like,
I know.
You are the de facto leader, but what can you do?
Are you just the charismatic one?
But he also was shot in the shoulder, so I can kind of understand after finding out what his powers were, why he wasn't doing anything. Right. But he, like, lets out this gripping scream and lifts a boulder out from under one of the giant trucks. And just smashes it on X-24.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's why he's the leader.
Okay. So, because I was convinced he was son of Magneto, I thought that was why they didn't show his powers, was because they wanted to hide the reveal he was a metal bender.
No, because I was like, oh my god, that's metal. And then I was like, no, it's getting lifted up.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think that they would have managed to get Magneto's
DNA.
Yeah. I don't know how, but they didn't. So, yeah. Although the girl who could do the frost, I was like, Bobby!
Yeah. But anyway, so, but actually, that's not how X-24 goes down.
No, it's not how X-24 goes down. He gets up again, and all the kids are running. Logan is fighting him again.
Yeah.
And Laura at some point reaches for a revolver.
Yeah, one that fell on the ground.
Very convenient that it was there.
Yep.
And she, remember, has the adamantium bullet.
Yep.
So as Logan and X-24 are fighting, X-24 claws him in the shoulder, lifts him up, and impales him on a tree.
That was rough.
It was really rough. And, like, honestly, if this movie weren't rated R, and it, like, none of this would have had the impact if we didn't see all of that stuff, you know? It just wouldn't work if it wasn't explicit like this. And Laura gets the gun, shoots the motherfucker in the face.
Yep, that was the other... And again, it wasn't gory, but it was, like, accurate, because half his head is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blew off half of his head.
Yeah, because an adamantium bullet is the only thing that could kill them, because it's the only thing that can penetrate their skull, their bones. Yeah. And he went down hard.
He did.
And this is Logan's final death.
This is Logan's goodbye.
And Laura's, like, saying, no, daddy. Like, mm-hmm. no. Like, she's calling him daddy for the first time. Yeah. And, like...
She freed him. She got him down.
Yeah, she got him down from the tree. Not that that really helped. He's still dying either way. They don't have a healer on the team.
Yeah.
And it's just this, like, peaceful goodbye. And he says to her, don't become what they made you to be.
Yeah.
Because he probably wishes that for himself. Like, he wishes mm-hmm. he didn't become the thing that Stryker made him to be, or mm-hmm. the army made him to be. Like, he didn't mm-hmm. want to be this person.
No. No.
And so he wants better for her.
Yeah. I did start crying. I started crying a whole lot.
I was crying.
I was crying a whole lot. But he was also kept saying, like, I get it now. I finally, like, to his daughter, he's like, I finally get it. And I was just, lots of tears.
This is such an emotional movie. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely was like, where's Daphne Keane's Oscar? Like, where are their awards? Like, this movie deserves awards.
Yeah. So she and the kids...
give him a funeral.
They bury him, and her eulogy... So in the, like, in a hotel room while they're on the run, her and Professor X watch this really old...
Western
movie. And so, and I'm sure this movie is iconic. I just don't know what it is.
I don't know.
So she recites the final lines from this movie over Logan's grave, and mm-hmm. I'm just crying a lot. And it was just about being like talking about death, killing people, mm-hmm. moving on, and being like, I did all these terrible things, so it's safe for you. And I was crying a lot.
Mm-hmm. And she, so they've put like a wooden cross over his mm-hmm. grave, and honestly, like, I understand that they needed to leave and leave fast. I still was like, I hate you when that kid was like, we gotta go. Like, excuse me, damn, take an extra second.
Yeah.
Like, he just saved all of you. Yeah. He's the reason you're all still alive. Yeah. So, take a moment, please. Mm-hmm. But Laura, like, kind of
she stays back a little bit,
and she moves the cross and turns it into an X, and the camera work just like pans in on the X, and in the background you see the kids like going to safety.
Cheesy as shit, but bet was that was when I started ugly crying.
Listen, I don't even think it's cheesy. Like, I just think it's fitting. It works.
Yeah, it really worked.
Like, it's just a honorary thing for him, because mm-hmm. he was their hero in the end. He was the X-Men mm-hmm. that they needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think it worked, and it mm-hmm. it was a fitting goodbye. Ultimately, this movie is a fitting goodbye to a character who we've known and loved for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Hugh Jackman was Logan longer than RDJ was Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, because people compare them a lot in the, like, the actor who's become their role kind mm-hmm. of a thing. So I assumed they were in character for that same amount of time.
Yeah, the first X-Men movie came out in, like, 2000 or 1999 or something like that.
Probably, I think it was 2000. Go back and look and listen to our episode and tell us when it was.
Yeah. Yeah, you tell us.
So, yeah, then so 17.
Yeah.
Roughly to 2000 to 2017.
Yeah.
17 years. And then RDJ was 08 to 2019.
Yeah, so he...
About half that time.
Yeah.
Not half that time.
It was anyways. 10 years for RDJ.
Yeah, anyways.
11, whatever.
But this is the fitting goodbye for Logan, for Hugh Jackman, and for the moment, the X-Men series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Hmm?
No.
Was there an X-Men after this?
Yeah. Dark Phoenix.
That's another one that I've only heard terrible things about, so I forget it exists.
Yeah. I don't want to watch it either, but I think that we have to eventually. I don't know when we're going to get to it.
It's not high priority.
We've literally done the movies that we felt were necessary to recap X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
To move on to whenever X-Men come into the Marvel universe.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, we're focusing on the good thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Logan.
Mm-hmm. It's just a good movie. I said last week that I think Logan elevates comic book movie to cinema.
I'd agree with that. And since this came out in 2017, and I don't have the MCU timeline memorized, that was also a lot of the consensus I saw when this movie came out, mm-hmm. was people... This was one of the movies that... Tell me when Winter Soldier came out. But it was one of the movies that people talked about of, like, superhero movies can mean more. Mm-hmm. Superhero movies represent more. And I think this is one of the ones that really started changing that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I, on record, right here, will say I think Logan is better than the entire MCU catalog.
Wow.
I genuinely think it's, like, a better made film than the entire MCU catalog.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
I don't know what to tell you. I love the MCU, obviously. We love these movies.
It's been 2 years. Yeah.
We love them. I just think that generally they're movies and they're fun and they're just interesting. And sometimes they get to the cusp of being about something more.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think they've ever reached it the way that Logan reaches it, or even X-Men Days of Future Past, or even X2. Like, I think that there are a lot of X-Men movies who have done a lot more to service this idea of comic book movies being more and meaning more than any of the MCU movies.
Okay. I'm not going to agree or disagree. But you know, I see your point.
I think Black Panther touched on it as well. Like, I think Black Panther was one of those movies that was able to kind of ascend in a way.
Yeah.
But I feel like it ascended culturally, not necessarily cinematically.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know?
Yeah.
Again, I love all those movies.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, like cinematically, Logan is better than the entire catalog.
Mm.
And that's all I gotta say. This movie is very good. It hits all of the emotions. It's like, it's the emotional depth to it that makes it good.
Yeah. I also just like what it represents to its characters and its fandom. One of the things... Like, I finished it, and this movie was so good, but because this wasn't the ending I wanted for them, I was like, this movie's not canon.
Yeah.
I can't describe it, but I was so sad. I was like, this movie can't be canon. Like, someone has to retcon something. This can't be the end. This can't be their end. But it's a very fitting end. As much as, like, you're sad and you're sitting with these feelings, it's not like they did something badly. It's not like they did something wrong. It's just... sad.
I mean, the characters
that's how things happen.
Yeah. Logan died doing something good.
Logan died doing something completely fitting to character.
Yeah.
And Charles Xavier, too.
He was murdered. In, the worst way.
He was murdered in the worst way, but, like, I don't know, journey-wise.
Yeah.
He was living out what he wanted, what he did.
So... I don't know, deep sigh. I feel like this is a weird place to end.
Yeah.
But the movie left us at a weird place to end, so.
Yeah.
Logan won't be, but we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow me on TikTok at SomeFangirl. I'm blowing up on TikTok, so get on there quick.
Who knows? Be an OG follower.
Yeah, let's go. Oh, check out our website at earthsmightiestfangirls.com. Email us at emfangirls@gmail.com. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. And it would really help us out if you reviewed us and mm-hmm. rated us on Apple Podcasts, that would like mm-hmm. absolutely be super, super great for the podcast. And like would get us in that like sweet, sweet algorithm.
Yeah. We know you're out there. We're currently cruising at zero. Please help us. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.